Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Attorney General of Maine, Janet Mills, and businessman Sean Moody, both who are running for governor of the great state of Maine. I am truly looking forward to discussing with both of them their vision for the next 4 years. First, we will be interviewing Attorney General Mills, and then businessman Sean Moody. This interview is designed to be a positive conversation where we focus on issues and concerns that business leaders, HR professionals, and employees care about today. I have some questions that I've not only created, but I have also asked business leaders and show listeners over the past week. So first, let's start with our interview with Attorney General Mills. Welcome, Attorney General Mills.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on. This is great. You know, I've watched your career over the years. You're obviously doing very well. Why would you run for governor?
Why not? I feel like I know how to turn things around. I know how state government works. Some people think that's a bad thing. I happen to think it's a good thing to know how to make change and effectuate, you know, affect good public policy. I spent 4 years on the Appropriations Committee, which none of the other Democrat candidates have done. And those were four tough years because it was during the recession of 2008 and around that time. And we had to, you know, work across the aisle with Republicans and forge seven budgets in 4 years. I used to kiddingly call it the de-appropriations committee because we were always trying to, you know, cut in a fashion that would still preserve education funding, still preserve the basic social safety net of government, and preserve some good programs, but, you know, making a lot of de-appropriations. So I have that experience. I have run an executive agency with a $42 million budget. I know how to make state government work.
You know, I think it's fair to say that Maine's economy has certainly improved over the last 4 years. Job growth has been strong, unemployment's at 2.7%. Tax revenue is also strong, especially on the business side, and Mainers' consumer confidence is nearing a high. Should we change course in what we're doing and why?
Well, we do change course because although we have a low unemployment rate, I run into people every day who are working two and three part-time jobs just to get by. So it seems like whether it's the wages or the cost of living or a combination of both, people are not seeing their goals achieved. They're not feeling better about the economy. Whereas unemployment rates in Washington County, Somerset, Piscataquis, are not satisfactory, and people are having a hard time finding good jobs, good-paying jobs. One of the issues is cost of living, and that involves energy costs, transportation costs, electricity, and healthcare. Healthcare is a big cost driver for employers and workers alike. So that's something we think we've got to address. But we have a lot of challenges. I mean, there have been some changes for the better and changes for the worse. But we've got to encourage people to come here, to new businesses to locate here, and existing businesses to remain here. That means improving infrastructure and attracting young workers from wherever they may come. What I hear from employers is that they don't have the workforce they need, you know, especially in areas with high unemployment. We need more software engineers. We need more electrical engineers. We need more people in the trades.
And we're talking today with Attorney General of Maine, Janet Mills, who is running as Democratic candidate for governor. I'm your host, David Chulo. You know, companies must compete today. And whether real or perceived, the shortage of tech-savvy people has affected the way companies do business. This is a hiring challenge for the state. Some say the reason is that there's a skills gap. Others say that, you know, certainly the current older workforce, which is a large percent of the workforce here in Maine, is a problem. But also there's questions about the fact that, young workers are leaving the state. What do you expect to do over the next 4 years if elected governor? What do you and your administration really expect to do to solve this problem in 4 years?
Well, a couple of things. One is we three things on the economy. One is infrastructure. One is the other is research and development, and the third is education. Those three things, I think, combine to produce a good economy. When I talk about infrastructure, I don't mean just roads and bridges, although they're in dire need of help. You know, we haven't built any new roads in 7 or 8 years, and there are a lot in need of repair. Infrastructure is important to employers and people moving here, and not only infrastructure in rock and dirt stuff, but and bridges, but cell phone service and broadband. I think it's kind of ridiculous that we are in a state where if you drive from the state's largest city to the state's capital or back on one of the busiest highways in the state, you drop a call right at mile 47. Always you drop a call on the state's busiest highway. That's got to be addressed. I mean, cell phone service shouldn't be that sketchy and intermittent. And broadband, most employers and new employers and small businesses looking to locate here are looking for good Internet service. We don't have really a statewide strategy for broadband, and that's critical as well. I have friends who practice tax law on Deer Isle that came back to Maine to raise their family here. But their biggest challenge is not having good Internet service. It's a hodgepodge of things. So I asked them, well, when you have a file to get back to your clients in Delaware, what do you do? And what they said, well, if it's an important file, we'll drive over to the Dunkin' Donuts in Blue Hill and sit outside and use their Wi-Fi and mail it that way, send it that way. That's not acceptable. We've got to do a better job strategizing about good Internet service in all communities. That's critical to business. It's critical to education for kids to do their homework online or health care. Wouldn't it be great to allow seniors to stay in their homes by having telehealth connected to their homes so that their primary care physician or their hospital can take their blood pressure and vital signs over the phone or over the Internet with high-speed broadband? These are all critical things for infrastructure. Secondly, research and development. We're, I think, 37th in the nation in the amount we spend, percentage of money we spend on research and development out of the gross domestic product. We need to do more that way. We've got tremendous veterinary medicine facilities in Maine, and we could be, you know, veterinarian biopharmaceutical capital of the world. We, between IDEX and Vets First Choice and what they're doing at Jackson Labs, and MDI and biological labs, we could be number one in the world in that area. We need to improve research and development, encourage what's going on at the Advanced Structures and Composites program at Orono, and support that fully. They're inventing new ways of using cross-laminated timbers for construction, for maybe telephone poles and that kind of thing. We've got a lot of offshoot businesses that are existing off of that research, and we could do more that way, marketing those great products that they're producing in Orono. And thirdly, education. I think when young families move here, they want to have a good education, public education system. That's one of our competitive advantages. We have a pretty good competitive education system, but we need a cradle-to-college strategy, starting with Head Start only, and more computer sciences, and I think that's critical for workforce needs, for employers. They're looking for people who have technology skills. I would support having computer sciences in the middle schools. We don't have enough of them in the high schools yet, but middle school curricula, including computer sciences, led by training from the state level, and expanding computer curricula, computer coding, computer programming. These are the jobs of the present, not the future.
Janet, it's interesting. You're right. Certainly there are a lot of areas where we have to look at the middle schools, the high schools, the education system. But the real question today is the need is now. The need is right now for employers. You have an economy that's going really mm-hmm. strong. You've got employers screaming because we can't find workers. You have employers really concerned because the job market is so tight that there are businesses here in the state that can't open for the season because they can't find workers. So what you're talking about is absolutely correct from a long-term perspective, and agree that things need to be done. What in the next 4 years, in the next year, heck with mm-hmm. the 4 years, what in the next year can be done to really solve this problem?
Well, two things that are fairly controversial. One is we've got to welcome new Mainers. You know, there are people coming to this country, and I don't care what their religion is, but they, I think we should welcome them here. Something like 40% of the new Mainers, new immigrants in the Portland area alone, have bachelor's degrees or better. The fact is they bring good job skills. What we're lacking there is better English language training, enhanced adult education. I understand from some folks that there's a two-year waiting list for some of the adult ed programs to teach people to speak English. And secondly, certifications, matching their licenses and certifications and qualifications in their home country with what we have here and see if they can become compatible. So there's those things, certification of licensing compatibility and English language issues. That could be done. Secondly, the second controversial issue is the opiate epidemic. I hear from employers everywhere that they're concerned about the workforce being competent and adequate. The people who do apply for jobs, the employers want to know that they're not doing drugs on the job, that they're not coming to work stoned, or not taking heroin. And you know, it's a tough issue. There's a real addiction problem out there, and we've got to address that. And I have a whole plan to address the opiate epidemic on day one, and that involves having substance abuse counselors and recovery coaches on call, having medication-assisted treatment, getting involved in prevention and education and treatment in a much bigger way. So those things I think employers would appreciate and would help expand the workforce for their benefit.
And we're talking today with Attorney General of Maine, Janet Mills, who is running as Democratic candidate for governor. Employers are certainly concerned with the impending recreational legalization of marijuana here in the state of Maine. Certainly when you just mentioned about the opioid epidemic is certainly an issue that is out there already. We know it's a violation of federal law, and there's no question about that, but yet the state continues to move forward, and the voters decided to make that work. What is your position on this topic, and how do you see vetting this issue and dealing with the employer issues you talked about? One, how do we deal with these issues? How do we deal with the classes of people that are federal employees that have to be treated differently, or DOT employees that have to be treated differently? How does that all work in your administration?
Oh, boy. It's not uncomplicated, as you know. look, I'm not opposed to recreational marijuana. I think in the area of marijuana, you've got to do three things. You got to test it, track it, and tax it. And in the new law that was passed over the governor's veto, I believe there are different employment provisions than what used to be in the law. So I'm pleased that they've been trying to address that. I think they're saying now that an employer is not required to accommodate the use of marijuana in the workplace. That's good news. Secondly, an employer may enact or adopt workplace policy restricting the use of marijuana by employees in the workplace or, engaged in activities in the scope of employment. And an employer may discipline employees who are under the influence of marijuana in the workplace. So those three things are, I think, an improvement on the prior law. And what's difficult is to tell when somebody's actually under the influence. You know, there's no actual legal standard for driving under the influence in Maine.
Yes.
Under the influence of marijuana. And that's really been a bone of contention. I know the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee debated that for months and came up with basically nothing, no way to determine if somebody's under the influence of marijuana while they're driving a vehicle. Now, if an employer has a federal contract to boot, obviously there are other federal ramifications, and they are not allowed to have marijuana use in the workplace in any event. And a lot of employers have federal contracts, so they need to consult with legal counsel on what they can and can't do in the workplace within the ramifications of the new law.
And we're talking today with Attorney General Janet Mills, who is running as a Democratic candidate for governor. I'm your host, David Chulo. I want to switch gears in terms of the other issue having to do with minimum wage. The voters of the state of Maine voted to continue to increase the minimum wage virtually every year for the next few years. It's currently $10 an hour, and some say it's going to go up to 15, maybe 20, or even higher. What's your position on the minimum wage versus the living wage? And do you really think that, for example, a high school individual at 14 years old entering the workforce should be paid $15 or $20 an hour just out at a job from a part-time job working at, for example, an ice cream shop?
Well, you know, the people have voted on the minimum wage, and I got a pretty substantial vote at the polls. And I would not favor changing that at this point. I think the law requires it to go up to, and for annual increases, up to $12 an hour in 2020, and annual cost of living increases thereafter. I think the more interesting issue, the living wage you mentioned, is a more interesting issue, because what a living wage may be in Portland is maybe quite different than a living wage in Fort Fairfield or
You're exactly
Waterville,
right. That's the challenge,
you know,
isn't it? Yeah.
The prevailing wage is one of the criteria used in state contracts. Prevailing wage of the area, labor, statistical marketing area, and metropolitan area. And that's a different issue, and that's required by state law for state contractors. And I think in the essential programs and services model for education funding, there's also a regional cost of living adjustment in the teachers' wages. Part of ESP, essential programs and services, EPS, sorry. So you got to look at things regionally to some extent. I would oppose changing what's in the law now. I think the people have voted, the people have spoken. I would not want to roll back that measure. That sends a bad signal.
Portland is looking to potentially have a paid sick time ordinance.
Yes.
That has certainly been out there. It's in other states, and it's been talked about. Do you support that? And if you do, why? Or if you don't, why not?
Well, you know, it takes a village, as they say. And Portland's got its own issues. I think that statewide, we need to look at paid family leave. In four other states, it's been done. It's been enacted without burdening the employer. And I want to look at that a lot more deeply, but I think we've got to look at paid family leave as an employer-friendly proposal for employers of a certain size. And I can't tell you right now how many employees that might be, but I think of employers of a sizable nature, they need to accommodate family leave and paid family leave. And we can do that by looking at other states, what Rhode Island and other states have done. And I think they have funded it on the basis of employee taxes of some sort, employee contributions that build up and support, sort of like a health savings account in some states, build up the money to be able to take a paid leave when a family emergency arises. I mean, a huge percentage of Maine people are now or have recently been caregivers for either elderly adults or small children or disabled individuals in their family. We've got to accommodate their needs and allow them to stay in the workforce, the private workforce, and also be able to take care of families in dire needs. You know, if you have an hourly position in particular, it's really tough to take time off. And to have it unpaid, especially for low-wage workers, it's really a disaster for the family.
And we're talking today with Attorney General Janet Mills. You know, you mentioned a little bit about health care, and I think that's certainly a huge concern from an employer and an employee perspective here in the state. You know, costs continue to go up. You know, I'll give an example. You know, I own a business here in Portland. I own two. And,
yeah.
You know, I did a comparison analysis that if I moved my business to New Hampshire and bought the exact same health care plan, exact same, no different, the cost would be almost 30% less to buy it in New Hampshire than I would in Maine. How do we deal with that issue here in the state? And how do we deal with the issue with allowing potentially plans being bought outside state lines? Or now they're talking about association plans. So how would you address this critical issue? Because it's a real serious cost issue for employers. And employees, I'll add, and employees.
Yeah. So going to the broader picture, employment-based health insurance goes back to the 1940s, during World War II, when President Roosevelt imposed a wage and price freeze during the war. It caused a lot of hackles to go up, and as compensation, he promised the workforce that they could negotiate over health care and that employers would get tax benefits for providing health insurance in the workplace. Now, fundamentally, we're just about the only civilized country, the only country in the world that where your health insurance, your availability of health care, depends on your employment. That's a fundamental premise that needs to be addressed at the national level. It doesn't seem fair to me to burden employers and employees and to limit mobility of the workforce by the restrictions of your health insurance. So that's something that has to be dealt with on the national level. Many of us in the Democratic primary are talking about single-payer or universal health care as a goal. Pretty difficult to do it in one state alone. Vermont tried to do single-payer health insurance. They found it impossible. So we've got to be talking to other states about expanding health care services and controlling costs as well. I think that when we look at the cost of pharmaceutical prescription drugs, just skyrocketed. We need to address that on the state level and the national level. So controlling costs and expanding access to health care. Right now, with Medicaid expansion, there'll be something, an estimated 70,000 people additionally eligible for Medicaid, main care. And then the level above that, the income level above that, many are qualified for the Affordable Care Act benefits. But there are small businesses and individuals who are buying insurance on the open market that are really, really getting taken for a ride there. Their premiums are just out of sight. That's the group I'd like to focus on and see what we can do to pull insurance, to offer them some kind of subsidy or benefit to allow them to buy into a pool of health insurance coverage. Those people are being crippled right now with health insurance costs.
And we're talking today with Attorney General Janet Mills, who is running as a Democratic candidate for governor. I'm your host, David Chulo. So one of the major issues, of course, is I've never met anybody that says they want to pay more in taxes. No employer I've ever met said, hey, let's go pay some more in taxes, right? No business owner has ever said, I want to pay more in taxes. But there is an issue in terms of the cost of living here in Maine. And I can give you a quick example. We've moved people from out of state as recruiters and move them to the state of Maine. They're amazed at the cost of living, especially in the Portland area, is very similar to the cost in Boston, but the wages are certainly not the same. How do we deal with the fact of our tax structure here in the state at a high level? And what are you going to talk about in the next 4 years to change to make those better?
Oh, great question. Well, you know, the tax structure involves a whole lot of things. I've talked with a lot of employers in Maine. They're complaining more, and individuals are complaining more about the property taxes. And I think some of the income tax reductions that the current administration has done, has affected, have shifted the taxes onto property taxpayers. And that's the focus right now, I think. Giving Maine residents a benefit for through the circuit breaker program, for instance, we can enhance the circuit breaker program. We could, again, fund revenue sharing so the towns aren't starving for revenues from the state in order to, especially the service centers that don't have enough of a property tax base. So revenue sharing, education funding from the state needs to fulfill its commitment to 55% of education funding. So those measures will help reduce the burden on the property taxes. Income taxes, you know, we have about $140 million in surplus right now, so we need to analyze where that's coming from and where it should be going. Should it stay in the stabilization fund? How much of it should stay in the stabilization fund? Where else are we not taking advantage of federal funds that we could be using as revenues for good programs, like in public health and education and environmental regulation, that kind of thing?
As we wrap up the show today, and again, we're talking with Attorney General of Maine, Janet Mills, who's running as a Democratic candidate for governor this year. As you are heading towards the primary here, why should somebody vote for you?
I think I'm the most qualified person for the job. If I were applying for a job in one of your businesses, I think you'd hire me. I think you would. And any of your clients would probably hire me because I've got the qualifications. And I've got more. I suggest I'm the most qualified person for the job. I've run an executive agency with a $42 million budget. I've been in the private sector for 14 years in a small business and representing individuals and other small businesses in Western Maine. I've had experience on the Appropriations Committee, getting budgets done. I know how to do that. I know the sources of funding. I know the personnel issues. And fundamentally, I just want to be the biggest cheerleader for the state of Maine. I want to tell the world what a great place we are, what great people we have, what a great work ethic, and what great natural resources. I think, you know, they'll come here if they hear the right song from the leadership in Augusta. And we need new leadership, And I plan to be that new leader and to tell the world what a great state we have and welcome businesses here and welcome the new workforce here to contribute to our state's economy and make everyone better off. I see a state, my vision is of a state undivided, not north and south, first district, second district, a state undivided that's prosperous north to south and west to east. That's my vision of the state. I'm the only Democrat running from the 2nd Congressional District, and I think I can bring people together and get the job done.
Janet, it has been a pleasure having you on today, the HR Power Hour. I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.